All right, have you ever stopped and asked yourself, why in the world do I do the things that I do? Like, seriously, like, why in the world did I do that? Why did I react that way? Why did I say that? You know, why do I hit my alarm 17 times in the morning before I get out of bed? Why do I wake up before my alarm even goes off? Why am I the last person into every single meeting? Why am I always the first person in the chair and I'm sitting there waiting for everybody else to show up? Why do I always order the double bacon burger with cheddar? First of all, because it's phenomenal. Why do I order the grilled chicken, which is tasteless? Why do I do the things that I do? Why in the world do I spend every dollar and sometimes more than what I make? Or why do I put God first and tithe and all those different things? We look at our decisions and we look at the things that we do and we go, man, why in the world do I do the things that I do? Now, what's interesting is that usually when people ask that question, they come up with a bunch of what we'll call secondary reasons that we do that. Secondary reasons, things like, well, that's the way I was brought up. Some of you are like, well, that's the way I was brought up. You know, why do you go to church? Well, that's because, my parents went to church, so I went to church. It's just the way that I do things. I was just raised that way. You feel obligated because there's other people around you. You just want to do it that way. It makes you feel good to do that. Then, honestly, we do it because we want to be accepted by other people, right? We want to do the accepted thing. We don't want to act out of character or out of nature from other people. So we do it to kind of fit into the club because we don't want to be the weird person standing on the corner all by themselves. You know what's interesting? Sociologists for the last several decades have done study after study, test after test, program after program to determine why we do that. You know what they've discovered? That the vast majority of the decisions that we make have absolutely nothing to do with the things that we just listed. It all boils down to how we see ourselves, who we believe we are, who we act, how we think, who we have heard our entire lives. This is who you are, therefore you act this way. So, in your mind, if you are a generous person, guess what? You end up having generous actions. If you go, you know what, in my mind, I'm an unselfish person, you are going to have unselfish actions. If you're like, listen, I'm kind of a loser, you know what you're going to do? You're going to do loser things. You think, I'm not really worth it. Well, you're going to act in such a way that underlines those behaviors and says to everyone around you, I'm really not worth it. And you're like, why does everyone treat me that way? Because that's how you act, so that's how they treat you, and that's what they do. That's just the reality of how I see myself. And so all of these decisions are boiled down to this one thing of how you view yourself, and therefore your actions follow out that way. Listen to this, Proverbs chapter 23, verses 6 and 7. The writer Solomon, Solomon's the wisest, the richest man that ever lived, and he writes this book, Proverbs, and all these different sayings to help us live a better life. That's the book of Proverbs is all about. He's taking God's wisdom and going, here, let's put it in practical terms, and this is how you should put God's wisdom and God's truth into these things. Listen to this. Do not eat the bread of a selfish person. And you're like, okay, that is the weirdest way to start a verse, isn't it? Do not eat the bread of a selfish person. Then he gives you the reason why. He goes, or desire his delicacies, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. The verse goes on, it goes, and later you'll pay for it. He'll keep tally of all the things that you've eaten in this house, and later on when he really comes and shows his true self, he'll be like, well, you ate the steak, and when I came to your house, you fed me chili. We're not equals. And what he's going, he's, listen, the actions of the man are correct. What he's doing is right, but his inner attitude, how he really thinks, who he really is, it's eventually going to come out. And it's going to bite you in the butt if you believe his outer actions. Because who he really is, who his self-identity really is, it will eventually reveal itself, and you'll be the one left standing there to pay the bill, if you will. Now, here's Solomon is obviously warning us not just about eating from stingy people or selfish people, but he's warning us that the internal thought process, how people think, how they perceive themselves, that's who they really are. That's why he says, for as he thinks within himself, that's who he really is. That's who at his core he really is. So let's put it this way. The things that you do always flow from what you think of you. The things that you do always flow from what you think of you. So if you have a negative self-perception, guess what? Your actions, your activities, your attitude, guess what they're going to be? Negative. And that's where it flows from. And it's not even a conscious thing. It's not even something you think about and go, okay, let me think about this. What would a cranky, irritated person who doesn't like anyone but himself, what would they do? No, it's just natural. It just flows from who you are. And so you act that way. And when you act that way, it reinforces this negative self-identity that we have. Now, Jesus talked about this dynamic. Jesus actually makes this statement. Look at this. At Luke chapter 6, verse 45, he makes it very clear. He says, listen, if you're a good person, you're going to do good things. If you're an evil person, you're going to do evil things. And he explains this. A good person produces what? Good things from a treasury of a good heart. But an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's inside. And so the real question is not about changing from the outside in, because we want to make lasting change. We talked last week about that. We said, okay, lasting change, it's not behavioral modification. It's not going, okay, I'm going to change this, I'm going to force this, I'm going to make myself do this, because eventually it falls apart. You can't change yourself from the outside in. It's spiritual transformation. It's from the inside out. It's going, okay, God, I have a brokenness within me. I have a part of me that's not right. I'm asking for you to give me the strength, the ability. And then God begins to give you those things. You begin to walk through the process of change. And that actually creates lasting change. But today, I want to share with you and I want to uncover the key to jumpstarting this lasting change. Okay? If you're looking at this new year like, I want to make change in my life, this is the key to making it all start. This is like an engine, and you finally find the right spark plug to put in the, inside that sucker. And you put that in, and man, when it kicks, it kicks. And the gas roars to life, and the engine roars, and you're like, yes, finally. This is really the key to finding that start. Here's what it is. Change begins with the who, not the do. Change begins with the who, not the do. You see, this is really counter to, I mean, if you go to the library, anybody go to the library anymore? If you go and you go to buy a book, I mean, or download a book on Amazon, Kindle, or whatever, and you're like, hey, I'm going to get a book, and you go to the self-help section, you know what it's almost always about? It's always about your actions. And how you do things, like, let's change these actions, and you do this, and you do that, and you do these other things. But the truth is, the do comes after changing who you see yourself to be. If you constantly see yourself as one that doesn't have success in your life, guess what your actions are going to show? One that doesn't have success. If you constantly show yourself as someone who cannot be loved, then guess what? You will be someone that cannot be loved. It's just, it's this self-emanating thing. Now, here's where it falls short, okay? Because some people are like, okay, so I just need to name it and claim it. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm 7 foot tall. Doesn't work that way. It's who you are, your character, your attitude, who you are, who you see yourself. That's how you act. So in light of this, let me ask you a very simple question. Who do you see yourself as? When you look at your life, when you look at your character, when you look at your behavior, how do you see yourself? Now remember, spiritual transformation, we're going to come to that. It's not behavior modification. It's not like I'm going to wake up every morning and say positive things to myself. You're a generous person. You're good enough. You're smart enough. And daggone it, people like you. Right? No. That's about spiritual transformation from the inside out. So we've got to look at what the Bible says about it. But before we get to that, I think it's really important to understand reality Because here's reality. The world and everything in it wants to fill you with as much negative self-identity, negative attitudes, and negative thoughts as it possibly can. And you know what's amazing? Doesn't matter on which side of it you are. Let's talk about intelligence, okay? You know what? You're a nerd. You're too smart. Opposite end of the spectrum, you're an idiot. Isn't that crazy? Intelligence. Doesn't matter which side you're on, it's a negative thing in some way, shape, or form. Same thing with being a good person. Oh, you're just a goody two-shoes, aren't you? Well, you're not good enough. Everything you do is bad. It's amazing. Doesn't matter which side of the equation you're on, it's bad. It's negative. You're too tall. You're too short. You're too skinny. You're too fat. You're a bad mom. You're a doofus dad. You're an angry teenager. It's all out there. And let's be honest. It is really easy to believe the negative about ourselves, isn't it? In fact, I would dare say that there are some of you that if I asked you, what is your earliest memory of what people said about you, the vast majority of you, it would be negative. You wouldn't remember all the good things that people say. You'd remember the one negative that somebody said in elementary school, or a teacher looked at you ugly and told you, oh, you look so frumpy today. Those are the things we remember. Those are the things we end up building our self-identity on, all of those things. And the truth is that most of those negative thoughts are lies. And it's important because it determines who you see yourself as and how you see yourself. So, when we talk about lies, this is a really easy step-by-step process, okay? Talk about lies. Do you know who the Bible calls the father of lies? It's the devil, Satan. Satan is the father of lies. And isn't it interesting that the Bible, the New Testament itself, says that Satan is the prince and the power of this world. And this world loves to fill you with negative things about you that just so happen to be lies. I wonder where that comes from. Because all of it actually extends from the devil and Satan himself, because lying is who he is at his core. Everything he does is a lie. And you know what one of his greatest weapons to try to deceive you and discourage you is? He'll question your identity. He'll say, are you really this? Are you really that? Or even worse, if you do something, let's say you make a mistake. And we all make mistakes, can we agree? We all make mistakes. You make a mistake. You do a bad thing. You lose your temper. You lose your cool. And instead of Satan coming and going, you know what, that was a bad thing you did. No. Here's what he says. You're a bad person, and that's why you did that. He goes right after your identity. Don't believe me? Let me show you this. In the New Testament, God set it up so when Jesus Christ came as he began his earthly ministry, he said, Satan, I'm going to let you give your best shot. I'm going to let you go after Jesus with everything you got. You listen, you give him both barrels. You give him your best stuff. You work up your plan. I'm going to give you 30 years to come up with the greatest plan of action against Jesus. And I'm going to put him in the desert, in the wilderness, all by himself. I'm not going to let him eat for 40 days so he is completely weak. And then you go after him. Now, here's the important part. You go, wow, why would God do that? By the way, it wasn't to see if Jesus would pass the test. It wasn't to see if Satan could come up with a great way to trick him. He did this so you and I could view it, you and I could see it, so that we could realize, you know what, Jesus went through everything we've gone through, and he did it without giving an inch. But I want you to see Satan's first haymaker that he throws. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and he became very hungry. It always amazes me that when Satan attacks, he doesn't attack at your strongest point. Isn't that crazy? Listen, I know that we're very disappointed with football right now, but if you were a good football coach, right, you wouldn't attack the other team's strength. What would you attack? You'd attack their weakness. That's what Satan does to us. He goes after our weakness, and in our weak moments, And that's what he does. He shows up when Jesus is at his weakest, and I want you to hear what he says. Don't miss this. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God." What is he questioning right there? His identity. If you really were the Son of God, you know what you could do? You could turn these stones and you could make them bread. You want to prove you're the Son of God? Make these stones into bread, Jesus. I don't know if he sounded like that, but I think it's probably similar. And Jesus responds with this: "A man does not live by bread alone." Then he goes, "Hey, if you are the Son of God, you know what you should do? You should throw yourself off this temple and command the angels to come and protect you." He goes, "Listen, God doesn't work that way." And he goes, "Okay, well, if you are the Son of God, then I want you to do this. Just bow down before me, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the world." He goes, "No, God alone is the authority over all those things." He goes right after his identity because he knows if he can get him to question his identity, that is the key. So, if we want lasting change, and we know that it's not behavior modification, it's spiritual transformation, and the spiritual transformation begins by understanding who we really are. If we are to understand who we are, what are we to do to be able to get there? There are two things. One thing you need to stop, and one thing you need to start. The first thing you need to do is you need to stop living down to the devil's lies. You need to stop living down to the devil's lies. In John chapter 8, Jesus is having a conversation with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees had come up with a whole bunch of addendums to the law, things that they thought were good ideas. But the whole point of the law, Paul talks about this in the New Testament, he says the whole point of the law was to point out where you're wrong. And so what the Pharisees were doing is, "Hey, we're going to bring up a whole bunch of more laws to show where you're wrong." Isn't it great when people do that? Like, "Hey, let me point out every error that you've ever made in your life." And it makes you feel really good, doesn't it? And that's what they're doing. He says, "Listen, you guys are doing all this stuff and you're causing all these problems." And then they try to deceive and cause all these issues, and they lie about God. And they lie about Jesus. And he comes right back at him. Listen to this. John chapter 8, verse 44. "For you are the children of your father, the devil." Let me translate that for you. You are the spawn of Satan. Right there. That's what he's saying. He's like, "You guys are the spawn of Satan himself. Do you know how I know you're the spawn of Satan yourself? Because you love to do the evil things that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there was no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. For he is a what? He is a liar. And he's a father of lies." But here's what we do. We hear the lie. It's reinforced by the world around us. It's underlined by the people who surround us. And we begin to internalize it as that's who we really are. Now, here's what psychology would say. Psychology would say, "Well, that's your mommy's fault. That's your daddy's fault. That's your teacher's fault." The problem is if it's somebody else's fault, you can't fix it. The problem is that we choose to believe that negative stuff, we choose to internalize it, and then we choose to say, "That's who I am." And because that's who I am, this is how I act. And then it comes to this wonderful thing. I can't change because that's just who I am. And then he's got you. It doesn't matter how hard you work. It doesn't matter what you do. You will always make decisions based upon this faulty identity that you have that has not been curated by Christ, but rather it's been fed to you as a lie by Satan himself. And so we live down to that, this distorted identity that the world through Satan gives us. And it undermines and sabotages any potential success you have. Let me give you an idea. Let's say you go, "You know what? I'm an addict. I have an addictive personality. There's just things that I get addicted to. And maybe it's Candy Crush, or maybe it's pop, or maybe it's porn, or maybe it's drugs, or maybe it's alcohol, or maybe it's chocolate cake, whatever it is. You say, I have this addict. That's who I am. I just have an addictive personality. So you know what you're going to go through life? Trading one addiction for another. You go, oh, I finally conquered this addiction. You know what you're going to substitute that addiction with? Another addiction. Because that's who I am. I have an addictive personality. And you've lived down to the devil's lies for yourself. You go, no. Listen, I'm just bad with money. You ever heard somebody say that? I'm just bad with money. I'm just bad with money. I'm always going to be broke. No big deal. I'll never have enough. I got 17 raises in the last 17 years, and I've had 4 promotions, and I make $100,000 more than I did before, but you know what? I spend $180,000. It's really weird. I'm just bad with money. You know what you're always going to do? You're always going to be bad with money because you're bad with money because you've lived down to the devil's lies instead of living up to what God has called you to. You know what? Listen. I'm just a failure. My dad called me a failure. My mom called me a failure. My sisters called me a failure. Listen, my ex-husband, they put it on Facebook. I'm a failure. That's just the way I am. I'm just a failure. I'll always be a failure. And you know what? You're right. It's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. You'll always be that which you believe you are because those are the decisions that you make. And the truth is, and I want you to listen to me very carefully, all those things are a lie from the pit of hell itself. They were first formulated in the mind of Satan and then fed through the filter of the world, exasperated and expanded through the speaker of those around you. And then because you began to internalize it, you began to act that way. And then those faulty actions, which are based upon lies, begin to reinforce the false identity that you've believed, and it begins this downward spiral. And you go further and further away from who God created you to be because you believed the lie that Satan told you. So if you're going to change, it starts with the who, not with the do. It begins by choosing to stop believing the lies. The other part, and I got to tell you this is so important. Because you ever heard this? If you stop a habit but you don't replace it with a habit, you'll go back to that habit. So we're going to stop something, but we're going to replace it with something else, okay? You're going to stop believing those lies, and you're going to start actually living up to the calling that God has for you. You're going to start living up to the calling that God has for your life. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verse 1. Then we'll skip to verses 21 through 24. But listen, Paul is writing, and he's writing to this church, this group of people that he loves. And he's in prison right now because he is following Jesus Christ. And he says, "For I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life," and then he says, "worthy of your calling." You see, so many of us live down to the lies instead of up to the calling that God has for us. We're ready to settle for the negative when God says, "I've got this blessing and this positive part of your life, these things I want you to do, but if you keep believing that you are this, you will never be able to experience this. I want you to live up worthy to the calling, for you have been called by God." I want to pause there for just a second. Don't read any further because I need you to hear this. You have been called by God. I don't care who you are. I don't care if this is your first time ever in church in your entire life. You're like, "I walked in here. I thought it was a White Castle. I don't know what's going on." You have been called by God. Hopefully it smells better than a White Castle. Let's be honest with that. You have been called by God. Every single man or woman that has ever walked on planet Earth has been called by God. Now, if you don't respond to that call, that's not God, that's you. So Paul says, listen, live up worthy. Don't live down to the lies. Live up worthy to the calling that God has in your life. Skip down to verses 21 through 24. Since you have heard about Jesus and you've learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Now, wouldn't it be a real kick in the gut if you couldn't do that? And Paul says you should do that. You know what? Just throw it off. It's fine. Just throw it off. You ever had somebody go, you know what? Just stop thinking that way. Praise Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I smite thee, right? You're like, it's not that easy. Paul and Paul goes, yeah. Actually, it is. Let me show you. He says, I want you to throw off your own sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Lies is another word for deception, by the way. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So if we read this, we go, you know what Paul is saying? He says, hey, listen, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, which lives in you if you know Jesus Christ, can renew or change, alter your thoughts and your attitudes, your very attitudes. Even the things that you don't think about. He goes, I can change those things. And then he goes on. He goes, put on your new nature because you are created to be like God, truly righteous, which means you do the right thing all the time, and holy, which means you are set apart for something else. So we need to stop living down to Satan's lies. And we need to start living up to the calling that God has for us. You are not bad. You're broken. But God has put the pieces back together. You're not a failure. You're fallen. But God has picked you up. You're not an addict. You've been abducted by your desires, but God has set you free. You're not a loser. You were lost. But God has found you. You're not a captive. You're a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Your new nature, your new identity isn't defined by what you've done. Your new identity was determined by God through Jesus Christ on the cross. So now who are you in Christ, okay? You know what? You're a mom. You're a mom who loves Jesus, and you're fully present, and you are intentional, and you are focused on doing that which God has called you to do. You're a teenager who's found purity and freedom from addiction of porn. You're a man of God who will lay his life down to serve his wife and his children. You are someone who is saved and sober and lives as a testimony as the power of Christ and changes people's story. See the difference? When you begin to see yourself as God sees you, you need to stop focusing on who you were or who you believe you are, and you need to start focusing on who Christ says you are. And here's what's amazing. Remember, sociologist tells us, right? Who we see we are, that's how we behave. Do you know, it's an amazing thing, when you start believing what God says about you, do you realize that some of the actions of your life begin to mimic who you believe God says you are? You don't even have to go, I'm going to try so hard. I love the fact that the fruits of the Spirit are the fruits of the Spirit. They're not the fruits of Dave. Not the fruits of Ed. Not the fruits of Karen. They're the fruits of the Spirit. So who's producing the fruits? You? No, the Spirit. Through you. Have you ever walked by a fruit tree and heard it going, ugh! It doesn't do that. It is the natural overflow of it being what? A fruit tree. The fruits of the Spirit are a natural overflow in your life when you begin to believe who God has called you to be, because it starts with the who, not with the do. And when you begin to believe who you are, instead of going in this downward spiral into all of the lies that Satan has, you begin this upward climb to become more like Jesus Christ, to experience the life and the calling that God has on you. It starts with the who. Not with the doing. The devil's going to lie to you. He's going to lie to you, and he's going to do everything that he can to convince you that you are just a horrible, awful, no good sinner who can't change, who won't change, doesn't even want to change. But Jesus died on the cross to break through that lie and to give you the truth. And here's the truth. The truth of your new identity. You ready for this? Hold on. Put your seatbelt on, because here we're going to go, okay? You are a new creation. Your old self has no power over you. You are free. You are God's masterpiece. And if you are not dead, then God's not done with you yet. You are the light of the world. You are God's ambassador to share the truth of Jesus Christ. You are not who the devil says you are. You are not who others think you are. You are not even who you believe you are. You are, through Christ, more than a conqueror. You are a child of God. You are an heir to all of God's blessings. You are forgiven, redeemed, restored, chosen, called, set apart, and holy. You are filled with the same spirit and power that rose Christ from the grave. And through his resurrection, you have access to God the Father. And with God, nothing is impossible, and through Christ you can do all things because he gives you the power to do it. That's the truth. The devil's a liar. But the truth will set you free. If you truly want lasting change, it doesn't start with the do. It starts with a who. Who you are in Christ is something amazing. You just have to choose to believe it. Father God, we are absolutely in awe of who you call us to be. In fact, quite frankly, God, it's even more than just who you've called us to be. It's who you say we are. God, in Christ, we are free. We are not held by anything. We are not bound. We are not slaves. We are not captive. We're not dead to the ability to do that which is right. We are alive and redeemed and ready to step into your truth. And so, God, I pray that today, all over this place, we would shed the skin that we have accepted as the truth, recognizing it as a lie from Satan himself, and God, it would release us from the attitudes and the decisions and the actions that have so hampered us and so held us down, that God, that the chains that have held us back would be falling off, because God, every chain can be broken by the power of Jesus' name. And we claim the power of the cross today to step into the truth of who we are, of who you've called us to be, God. And I pray for release this morning as we move into this new year. And God, you give us the power to change through the power of the Holy Spirit because of who we are and whose we are. We thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and respond.